you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. Tomorrow on Wednesday, a group of us, about 40, meet at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. Get on our motor coach, pick up four more pilgrims in and around Milford, head to O'Hare, fly to Newark, meet about eight other pilgrims, get on a flight, head to Tel Aviv, where we'll be joined by four other pilgrims to make our complete group of 56 ready to tour the Holy Land. So we're pretty excited on this end. And if you were tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, you heard me kind of get on a roll as Marianne asked me a few questions about why I keep taking groups to Israel. And so there was a little conversation about the upcoming trip, along with that cameo appearance from Randy Houston from Houston Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And so it was kind of fun as he was working on the roof and came down while we were doing our morning program. We invited him in, or kind of dragged him in. So if you missed yesterday's program and you know Randy Houston, you might get a kick out of his brief remarks that we had to pull out of them. And that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And also, I didn't get to mention, on Friday night we had our Israel trip orientation meeting, an exciting bunch. So I'm sure when we all return, the families and communities and workplaces and churches throughout our area will be impacted by these returning pilgrims. Saturday, we had a great event, meeting the Mike Worths and raising funds for little Jade to be placed in the Mike Worths home in the coming days. What a great event. It was a Love Is event, and there was love all around. And we so appreciate Josh and Tanya, and we interviewed them a few weeks back. Now into the Tuesday program with my wellness experts. But before the introduction, let me begin reading from the back cover of Let's Eat Mindfully, by Jim Painter with Rosemary Painter. Incidentally, Rosemary is a part of our conversational English classes, our ever-growing group. I don't know, between 25 and 35 now, many Asian students that meet on Mondays and Thursdays here at the Great News Radio Center. But at least I digress further, reading from the back cover of Let's Eat Mindfully, What Can Be Done About Our Ever-Widening Girth with Its Hosts of Health Compromises. Jim Painter has spent much of the past two decades researching the dining environment as well as situations that predispose us to overeat. Can I get a testimony? My ad lib there. Becoming mindful of these factors gives us a chance to be mindful of even small changes in our dining environment that have proven results. And I'm opening up to the table of contents, Dr. Painter, Jim, and thank you also joining us, Dr. Alex, for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And in the past, on these Wellness Tuesdays, we've talked about portion control, size of containers, and I've been really mindful when I eat and what I eat on. And we talked about when we go to these all-you-can-eat buffets, and it's really hard to show restraint, so just be very intentional. One plate, fill it up as much as you want, but just know you're not going to go back. And I've done that successfully a few times now.
Have you?
Oh, yes.
Good, good.
And I've been chewing more, Dr. Zechariah, you know, which gives me more time to process the food. Where you've said digestion begins right in the mouth. I mean, that's kind of the first step. Anyways, I've put into practice some of these techniques and have actually lost 3 pounds. You know, I'm teetering on just keep those three off. You know, there's been a couple of days where they kind of came back on, but I got them back off again. So, but I'm being much more mindful, and they've been very helpful tips. And I think today we're going to talk about some of the visual cues and the form of the food, because all those are factors in helping us to eat mindfully. But Dr. Jim, for those tuned in today, how about praying up our program, praying up some of the choices people are making, and pray up for those that are maybe struggling with obesity or haven't been able to figure out the proper diet or the portion control, or feel like, you know, I'm already a couple months into this new year and it's just not going to turn out well. Pray that God, through this broadcast, through some of your tips and expertise, will help them achieve some measure of success, if you will.
Sure. Let's pray.
Father, we are so grateful that you're here. You're with us. You never leave us or forsake us, Father. But so many times it seems like we've failed. You know, we try diets, and they just don't work. Lord, I know that your word says that you're perfect and that you have a perfect knowledge and our body functions in a perfect way. And when we have thoughts that are contrary to that, we can cast those things down, focus on you, Lord, trust in you, and you can help us to eat the way we're supposed to eat to keep our weight as it should be. So, Lord, we trust you right now that the things we say and the things we do will be pleasing in your sight, Father, and we'll be able to have the bodies that you want us to have.
And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Before you share, Jim, because I'd like you to address, you know, at least a couple of these topics from your book, Let's Eat Mindfully, which is available at the Great News Radio Center for $6.50. Stop by anytime between 10 and 5 p.m. But before we talk about some of the visual cues and the form of the food, what I appreciate, Dr. Zachariah, as I've sat through some of your wellness workshops that are being hosted on Thursdays, that you tell people right up front, right from the very beginning, one of the first things is you are perfect as you are, right as you are. Don't change. God loves you and cares for you. Now, obviously, you know, we want to take care of this temple that he's given us or entrusted to us to live in. But I like how you put people at ease saying, don't worry about your size or shape or weight amounts. You're all about just having them be where God has them right now, obviously wanting to improve their wellness. But why do you usually say that to begin one of your sessions?
No, we should not start with a guilty conscience, and that interferes with the decision-making and implementing it. So if the Lord accepts us as we are right now, we'll start with the Lord and say it's okay with the Lord. Yeah. But the Lord expects us to be a good stewards of what he has given us. That is our amazing body.
Yeah, so start where you're at. And then the Lord does, in fact, appreciate where you're at. But he wants to improve on us, doesn't he? He always kind of wants to, he set the bar pretty high. Be ye perfect, as you know, I am perfect. You know, we can't achieve it, but we should always be trying to walk towards him in holiness and faithfulness and really take care of ourselves. So with wellness and with eating mindfully, for somebody that's driving along that's maybe never thought about this topic or never thought about portion control, we've talked about that in the past, or dinnerware, the size of the plate that you eat on. What's this with visual cues or the form of the food?
So we are not bad people. You know, we were thin for 10,000 years. And then all of a sudden, in the last 30 or 40 years, we've expanded, other countries have expanded. Food is everywhere, portions are bigger, and we get fooled. We get fooled by portion. So when I say visual cues, usually we eat stuff that is so calorie dense, we eat right past our satiety signals on the inside that God built in there because we just weren't used to eating a candy bar where we can consume 500 calories in a minute and a half. And so we depend many times on what's out there telling us. So if you get a little bag of chips that's one serving, or you get a bag of chips that's 2.5, 3 servings, you'll eat the whole bag. So it's a visual picture of how much you're supposed to eat. And just picking smaller helps you eat less because when you finish it, you're done. It's like eating a candy bar. You'll eat the candy bar, you eat the whole thing. When the candy bar's done, you're done. What told you you're done? The candy bar is gone. And so it's a visual cue to tell you how much you've had. My buddy Brian Wansink took a bunch of Pringles one time and just put a red Pringle every 10 chips so that you could actually see how far you're getting. And that helped people eat less because it was a visual picture. Oh, I got that far. Oh, I got that far. Oh, I got that far. And so there's many ways to look at this, but just be aware that in our dining environment, there's visual pictures that tell us how much we've eaten, and just be aware of them.
Yeah, I think you had shared an illustration where you have this favorite shake.
Right.
And you finally decided, you know, I'm satisfied when I just get the smaller amount, but when it was the larger one, I got to finish this, got to finish. I'm so full now, but I got to finish this thing, got to get to the bottom of it. And you finally said, you know, at that point, you were like stuffed, and it's like, why did I drink that whole thing? whereas a smaller size would have just been a fine one, and it's the same. I get those super size, those big candy bars, and I eat it till it's done. And if I went back to the smaller size, yeah, I would eat that, and then I'd be done.
Right.
And so, yeah.
And it's rare that you go back and get another candy bar. Once you finish the candy bar, you're done for an hour, a day, a week, right, or whenever you're going to have another one. But that eating occasion is done when it's gone. Like the big, I would have the big chocolate milkshake, and I get halfway done, I'm satisfied. I'm three-quarters of the way done, I'm really feeling pain now. And I'm almost all the way done, I'm about ready to throw up, but I eat the last bit of it because I paid for it.
Right.
Yet if I get the little milkshake, the kitty version, it's still 12 ounces, I'll drink the whole thing, I'll be satisfied, and I really don't want any more.
You know, it's interesting. I have tried that after your recommendation, and my tendency was, because it's smaller, I eat it slower because
right,
I want to enjoy it, and it's like I don't right, slurp it down so fast. It's like, hey, I better take my time with this because it's going to go faster, and it really works because I'm satisfied,
right,
and I feel a lot better when it's all down my system. Well, what are some of the other like forms of food? I know I like eating pistachios, and
right,
you gave that illustration, but certain things that we have to work on or take time to open up or to peel.
Right. And so we can get forms of food that are more processed, that are easier to eat. And so an example could be if you eat orange sections that are in a can, you can just eat, and there's nothing to slow you down. Where if you have to peel the orange, section it, there's even something about with children, the more they play with their food, the more they work with it, the more likely they are to eat it. And so that even gets children to eat it. But instead of having peanuts that are shelled, oh my goodness, one scoop, 200 calories. You can eat 1,000 calories before you even know it, but if you're peeling those, it takes longer. And we did a study for Wonderful Pistachios where we gave students shelled pistachios and pistachios in the shell, and they took about the same volume. They ate half as much. We asked them, are you satisfied? They were equally satisfied, had half as many calories when they ate them in the shell.
Mm-hmm. People that have tuned in for any period of time, my collection of those big Sam's Club cashews or peanut cans, because I would do handfuls, literally handfuls every day for years out at the radio tower. And
right,
we were trying to figure out if that was a precursor to my kidney stone issues, you know, having all those peanuts, but handfuls of them. But when I eat the pistachios, you know, you literally have
right,
to stop. And then some of those are harder to open.
Right.
It's like, oh gosh, this is taking me too long. But it does create that time lapse or that period of time, and you really do have the tendency to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's something for maybe the house parent or somebody that's shopping. You know, when they go for the can, they're mm-hmm, going to open it up, pour it out, and there it is. Whereas mm-hmm, if the child or they have to help, you know, peel the skin or work
right,
towards cleaning it, washing it, you know, all that's going to take a little longer.
And that brings us to the title of the book, Let's Eat Mindfully. Mm-hmm. See, the mindfully, and so are the other two books, Let's Breathe Mindfully and Let's Move Mindfully. Anything we do mindfully, we not only enjoy it, we definitely get something more out of it.
Yeah, I think that mindfully aspect of it kind of lends it towards being intentional. Being
right,
intentional, all three of these are a part of a series. Why that mindfully? For that very reason, so that we're mindful, we're intentional, we're thinking it through, we're looking at the options, we're weighing the pros and cons?
Yes.
Woohoo, I get it. Okay, so what's another aspect of eating mindfully that could be useful for somebody thinking about, I've never looked at food that way?
Well, when you're eating out, and we eat out, about half of every food dollar is spent on eating away from home now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you eat out, there's things to think about. Really three of them. One is obesity travels in social circles. And so when you get one person that's obese, other people are too. We tend to eat up to the person who's eating the most at the table.
Hmm.
We're affected by that. So we did a couple of studies. We had people at a table in a restaurant, and we pulled one person from the table, and we said, okay, this group, when we say, do you want more, say no. And this person say yes. And so what we looked at is the other five people around the table. When someone comes up and says, would you like dessert? And the first person says no, oh, bummer.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I have to say no, too. It was huge, the difference in the effect on the first person. What the first person said affected everybody else around the table. So be aware of what other diners are doing. And either be the first one to speak and just watch what everybody else says.
Mm-hmm.
Or be aware that when they say something, it doesn't have to affect you, because if they say yes, then everybody goes, well, I guess we can all have dessert, you know, sure. And we all have to sit on the table. So that peer pressure makes a difference. And then be careful of the server when they come up. You know, I've had drinks at the table, and they just keep filling the drinks. You don't know how much you've had. You've had about like 7 gallons of whatever it is. They just keep pouring it in there. Yeah. You don't even know how much you've had. So that's dangerous. But if the wait staff's coming up saying, do you want more, do you want more, do you want more, you've got to be aware of that, and you can say no.
Right.
But it's hard to say no, you know, because they're offering this stuff free.
Right. Well, and the dessert factor. I know when others have said this person gets this, and I've looked at it and thought, you know, none of those are really anything I really want, and so it'll be easy for me to say no. But then with three other people say yes, it's like, well, I got to do something to eat alongside them. So okay, give me that key lime pie or whatever it is. And yeah, again, if you're one of the first to speak up, that might then encourage everyone else to say, nah, we don't need anything. What about the words affecting consumption?
Well, words affecting consumption, too. You have to be aware of what people are saying about it. There was this lady one time in a school food service said, today we're having ballpark Franks, the kind you had with your dad. We're having peanuts, just like the guy used to throw to you. We're having Franks and peanuts, and then all these kids pile in. We did a study at the University of Illinois where we went through and we said, here's fish. And the next day it was succulent Italian seafood filet. Oh, my goodness. That's so much better. And here's pudding. And here's Dutch chocolate pudding made with grandma's tender hands. You know, and so when you've got to be careful what people say about things, because you can get talked into things by how good it sounds.
Right.
So just to be aware of what people are saying about the food you're eating. You can use it for good or bad. People look at me and go, "You, what you say is dangerous." Well, yeah, it can be, because you can use it for good or bad.
Well, back to the restaurant illustration with the waiter,
right,
you know, suggesting various desserts. I was thinking, you know, part of their tip is a part of that. Both my brothers worked in restaurants or bars or other places where, you know, they derived some of their income through the tips. And so they always encouraged and always stressed, oh, do you want some of our fresh, you know, and they would build it up with a lot of words, because if they purchased another $8 or $10 or $20, it could mean $2 or $3 more into their tip.
Right.
So realize that they're kind of motivated. Obviously, they want to serve you well to get a good tip.
Right.
But if they can get the bill tab higher,
exactly,
they're going to get a greater tip, too.
Exactly. I was in a new restaurant downtown, and I won't mention the name of it, but they have endless fries. Are you kidding me? Shoot me in the foot now. I mean, honestly, so they bring out the waffle fries, and they're done. Before it's done, they say, do you want more? Okay. And they bring another one out. You know, you finish that one, they bring another one out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I'm going to eat there again, because I can't stop myself when they're just piling on the fries that I don't need anyway.
Endless fries, that sounds
right.
Great. Is the suggestive selling, is it in the restaurant or in a store, or whether some of those?
Suggestive selling can be anywhere, and one part of it is in fast food. You go out to a fast food and say, I'd like a burger. Would you like to supersize that?
Yeah.
No. They suggestively add things to it. And so you get done with the whole meal and they say, would you like this too? And so be aware that it is their job to sell food. That's their job. And it's your job to not eat much. And so when they're suggestive selling, be ready to say no, especially at fast food. Would you like supersize? No, I just want a burger. Just one. That's all I wanted, one burger. Would you like two for the price of one? No. You know.
Yeah, those coupons where they give you the additional one free or half off.
Or half off,
like,
or whatever.
Well, I'll take it home, but don't you know halfway through, you know, I'm kind of still hungry. I better just finish that off. Don't want to be wasteful, right?
Exactly right. Right.
Now, Dr. Z, I know last week when you were doing the wellness workshops, you had some facial expressions. Can you make any facial expressions that help you ward off this additional food, or it helps you breathe a little more effectively so you can digest them easier?
Not particular.
No, okay. No. Maybe talk us through those facial expressions, even though they can't see you. They were interesting, and I watched it really assist people in their breathing technique, or in the fact that they felt better after doing it.
Mm-hmm. The facial expression for breathing in and breathing out can be different. And when you are breathing in, if you have a facial expression of awe and wonder, as when you see the Grand Canyon for the first time, what do? You throw up your hands and your eyes bulge out and you take a deep breath in. So that's breathing in. But the problem with that is you are breathing through your mouth. And breathing in should be through your nose. Because what the nose and behind the nose is the radiator of your brain. just like the radiator in a car has thousands of these cells where the boiling water comes here and where the fan air pushes through and cools it. So the blood that is in on your face as well as behind your nose in that nostril behind is where there is a rich blood supply with the incoming air, cooler incoming air cools the blood, and this cooler blood directly goes to the brain through certain veins that go into the brain. Mm-hmm. And so that is why when we have breathing through our nose, we must. And when you breathe out, it suggests that we smile. We progressively smile from a Mona Lisa smile to an ear-to-ear grin, and thirdly, a Duchenne smile. When the children smile, they almost close their eyes. Mm-hmm. So smile when you speak and breathe out. And an expression of awe when you breathe in, as you breathe in through the nose.
And breathe in through the nose. Many people, they almost have to think that through, like...
Yes.
But when you do, you're really cooling off the brain, and you're optimizing for your head, for your mind, the best way to breathe in through the nose. Mm-hmm. And then you had another interesting facet with the yawning.
Yes.
Yawning with your mouth closed.
Yes.
And I don't know, you can't demonstrate that so much over the air. It'd be like demonstrate. Let's demonstrate eating now. Oh, yeah, good. But talk just briefly as we close out our program. How do you yawn where you don't take a breath?
See, you are yawning, you are breathing in. And remember, when you are in company, when you are with a group of people and you want to yawn, you still yawn because you can't get rid of yawn that came. And you do that with your mouth closed. You just convert that yawn with your mouth closed. You don't wide open your mouth. So all we are saying is do the same. Now, this time when you are breathing in, drop your jaw as you breathe in. That's it.
Yep. Come to our wellness workshops. They're held on Thursday, three different times. You can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. You'll see the wellness links, and we'll soon be launching our wellness workshops, our evening sessions with a variety of special guests, experts in various areas of wellness, and we hope you can sign up for that, too, again, at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Well, thank you, Dr. Painter, Dr.
Thanks.
Zachariah, Jim, Alex, for being a part again of Wellness Tuesday and being available and accessible for our listeners, and working Dr. Zachariah with many of our listeners on Thursdays here. So find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and keep these two prayed up in the days ahead as God uses them in various ways throughout our area and parts of the world. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Dr. Jim Painter, Dr. Alex Zachariah with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.